Are you glad you're here today?
Yes.
Well, some of you are. Are you glad to be here?
Yes.
Is there a better place to be right now than here? Somebody said, yeah, the beach. Well, you got a problem. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're here. Whether you're glad or not, I'm glad you're here. And you know what? God's got a word for us today. 1 Peter, where we're going to be today. You know, Peter was an interesting character. He was kind of one of those in-your-face type of guys. And, you know, Peter's biggest detriment was he had this horrible disease called foot and mouth disease. And I think all of us have had bouts with that at times. Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And Peter, when he begins to write his epistle, he's writing to the church, and he begins this first letter talking a little bit about submission and then really living under God's hand. Persecution is something that's a part of life. Persecution can cause us to either grow. It'll cause either growth in your faith, it'll cause growth in your life, or it'll cause bitterness in life. And our response determines the result. Our response determines the result. So how does a believer respond under opposition? You see, our response is going to determine the result. Whether we like it or not, that's the outcome. Character and conduct are revealed in the face of pressure. Let me say that again. Character and conduct are revealed in the face of pressure. And if our character and our conduct is to be like Him, then it has to be grounded in submission to Him. Because the depth of our submission to Him will determine our response to those times of pressure. Our response to life, if it's godly, it's a result of submission to God's will. Amen. So 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Sanctified, sanctification in the Spirit, sanctified by the Spirit for obedience. The Holy Spirit, when we're in full submission to God, the Holy Spirit will bring sanctification to our life. It will keep that process of sanctification going in our life. Our obedience to the Spirit and the blood of Jesus Christ is what purifies our heart. Amen. Purification, which is really what sanctification is, it's a process of purification. It's a result of our obedience to the Spirit of God and the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses our hearts and our minds. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. We think sometimes our inheritance is here and now. Our inheritance is not. Our inheritance is set apart in heaven, and it awaits us in heaven. Our hope, look at what Peter writes there. He has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What is your hope today as you sit here? Do you have any hope? Do you need hope? Peter says, our hope has been set aside, manifested. It's a living hope. You see, hope, true hope, is alive. Amen. It's not just wishful thinking. It's not just wishful doubting. Our hope is not stagnant. It's not stagnant wishing or thinking a possibility. It's living, it's alive, and it's given life. Our hope has been given life by Jesus Christ through the resurrection. When he was dead and buried, crucified, dead and buried, when he rose from the dead, he rose our hope for us. He gave us living hope. Living hope. And our living hope, as the word says, it's set aside in heaven. It awaits us in heaven. That's what we should, as believers, should hope for. Now, not hope you get to heaven. You know, you have a way. Jesus Christ gave us the way to heaven through a relationship with him. That's not the hope we're talking about. Our hope is in him. Our hope is because of him, and our hope is alive with him today. And so I don't know where your hope is today or what you're hoping in, but I hope that your hope is the same hope that Peter speaks of today. It's a living hope. It's a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, our inheritance, as he says, it's permanent. Our inheritance is in heaven. And our inheritance doesn't fade away. It's there. It's permanent. And it's perfect. Our inheritance is guaranteed in heaven. Colossians 1:5. Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, there it is again. The hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before the word of truth in the gospel. You see, our inheritance is permanent and perfect and guaranteed in heaven, according to God's word. 1 Peter 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You see, we are kept by the power of God. The power of God is manifested through what? Through faith. It's manifested through faith. That's why it's so important that we build our faith with the Word of God. Because as we plant the Word of God in our lives and in our hearts and in our minds, our faith is strengthened. And the power of that faith is manifested. It's manifested in our lives. The power of God is manifested through faith. You see, oftentimes, sometimes we want to do things, we want to create things, we try to make things happen for God. We don't have to make anything happen. If we'll have faith, and if we'll nurture and build and grow our faith, the power of God will be manifested through our faith. We don't have to create anything. We don't have to make anything happen. He does it. And his power is manifested through our faith. So how's your faith this morning? Are you building your faith? Are you satisfied with your faith? Are you just happy with the faith that you got? You know, I think I said last week when I was referring to something, God has so much more than what we have right now. He has so much more. He has so much. There's so much more faith you can have. You know, we sing these songs, I believe. You said, and I believe. And it's easy to come in here and sing that. You said, I believe. But how about what happens when we have to live that out? What happens when cancer hits? What happens when disaster hits? What happens when finance? Do you say, God, you said, so I believe? Do you believe when things are sideways, or do you just believe when things are easy and good? You see, anybody can believe when there's not a problem, right? But what if when things are upside down? Can you stand, as we talked about last week, stand in your faith and say, God, you said, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. So you said it, so I'm going to believe it. You see, that's why it's so important. We get so caught up in walking by sight and not by faith. We walk by what we see and we get distracted and our faith wavers because of what we're looking at. That's why it says to walk by faith and not by sight. How do you walk by faith? You keep your eyes, your sight on Jesus and on His Word. You said, and I believe. He said, our hope is in heaven. I believe. It's there. It's permanent. It's not going away. It's not fading. It's there. It's awaiting our arrival. And I'll be happy to get there. Because He said, and I believe. I believe. 1 Peter 1:6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Grieved meaning stressed by various trials. That the genuineness, well, let me stop right there. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials. You know, sometimes people, I see people suffer a lot all through life. And I think, gosh. Or people have this, something happened to them and they have trials or tribulations for a short period of time and they think it's the end of the world. If you read the scripture, it says it's nothing. It's nothing compared to what we're going to experience when He comes. 1 Peter 4:12, as He says this, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. You see, when life goes sideways, do we go sideways with it? He says, don't think it strange. Don't be surprised. Don't be shocked that it's happened. He tells it, it's going to happen. And if it hasn't happened to you, I'm not doom and gloom. It will in some way, shape, or form. And it's okay. He said it would. In this world, you will have trouble. But I have told you so, so that in me you may have peace, because I have overcome the world. Any trial that you experience, He's already overcome it. You just have to submit your faith to believing it. He says, I've overcome. So we go right back to that song. You said, you have overcome the world. So I believe you have overcome the world. That means you've overcome anything and everything I'm going to experience in this world. Now, bad things happen to good people. Of course they do. Why? The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust alike. If there's an unbeliever standing outside there and a believer standing outside there with them and it's raining, they're both going to get wet. You see, we live in a broken world. It's just the way it is. And things are going to happen. We're going to experience things. And that's the whole reason why we need to have faith. Don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. It's to try your faith. As if something strange happens. No. Our faith gets tested all the time. The key is, are you passing the test? Are you passing the test? You see, the depth of our submission to God's will is going to be revealed when the pressure comes. How much faith we have in Him, how much we trust in Him, and how much we've submitted to His will is going to be revealed when the pressure's on. What happens when something's squeezed? Well, if there's anything inside there, it's coming out. And you see, sometimes when we get squeezed, sometimes when I get squeezed, what comes out is very revealing.
That's right.
It's very revealing. And what it reveals is my heart and how deeply it's submitted to Him. You know, we can argue about that or debate it all day long, but it's the truth. It's the truth, and I know all of us know it and see it. We've experienced it. Maybe you're under a lot of pressure right now. What's coming out? What's being revealed about your submission to Jesus? Because it gets revealed when the pressure's on. 2 Corinthians 2 Corinthians, which one is it? Chapter 4. For our light affliction. You see, we think we're dealing with a lot right now. Peter said, in this greatly rejoice, for now a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials. And then in 2 Corinthians, Paul writes, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, for us it seems like it's lasting forever, but for a moment is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. God wants to manifest His glory in your trial, in your affliction. He wants to manifest Himself in His glory through your affliction, but you know what? I have a part in that. You have a part in that. You don't have to, you can't just sing it. You got to live it. You said, I believe. You see, it's easy to sing it. It's a different thing to walk in that. It's a whole different deal when we get hit with something. But he says, our light affliction. Anything we experience, you say, wait a minute, Pastor, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what's been done to me, what's happened to me. God does. And He still said, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceedingly eternal weight of glory. It doesn't matter what's happened to you or what you've been through. He wants His glory manifested in that. But we have to believe that He said it. And then we have to believe it. We have to believe it. Verse 7, 1 Peter. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold, hear that, that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see Him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Wow, there's a lot right there. That the genuineness of your faith, is your faith real? Do you have faith or you just have religion? You know, you can come to church a lot and not have faith. You can be confused religion with faith. There's a big difference. I don't even like religion. There's this thing called a religious spirit. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were full of it, a religious spirit. They knew all about it. They knew the word. They knew that. But all they had was religion. They didn't have faith. They had religion and not a relationship. And that's what I want to encourage you. You can come to church all day long and just have religion and not have a relationship. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. Not religion about him, but a relationship with him. Do you have a relationship with him? Have you ever truly repented of your sin and said, I can't do it my way anymore. God, I know I need you. I need a Savior. Jesus, forgive me and take over my life. I receive you by faith. If you've never done that, you don't have a relationship with him. And let me tell you something else. Let me add to that. Because there's this thing that's been forever about just you just pray a prayer and you're fine. No. You speak to God with your heart, from your spirit. You can call it a prayer, but you got to truly repent. You got to truly believe that he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. And then you got to receive that by faith. That's a relationship. You can pray. I remember before I got saved, many times I prayed a prayer of salvation, sitting up there in a crow's nest in the balcony of that old church I was in, and nothing changed. Because all I was doing, I didn't want to do anything. I wanted him to do it all. And I prayed the prayer, okay, Lord, I believe in you, save me. Nothing happened. Nothing. I didn't have faith. I didn't believe. You have to believe. I wanted religion. I didn't want a relationship. Because see, religion allows me to keep doing whatever I want to do. A relationship doesn't. Because when you have a true relationship with God, the Spirit of God convicts you when you're violating that relationship. Amen. Don't have religion. Have a relationship. Have real faith. Real faith comes by a relationship, not religion. Because let me tell you something else. If your faith is real and not just religion, you see, religion doesn't stand in the fire. He says, the genuineness of your faith being more precious than gold. Faith is more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. True faith will stand in the fire. Religion will burn up in the fire. Religion won't give God glory. Religion will complain and say, woe me, I'm a victim. But true faith says, praise God, you said, I believe, I give you glory in this mess I'm going through, and I don't stop doing that. True praise, true faith gives praise, gives honor, and gives glory to God in all things, good or bad. In all things, good or bad. It gives, true faith gives praise, honor, and glory to him. John 20:29. Jesus said, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Listen to this. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Can you believe what you don't see? You see, here's where the conflict comes in. We operate too much by what we see rather than what we know is truth. We operate by what we see. And Jesus said, Thomas, you believe because you've seen. But blessed are those who haven't seen. I haven't seen Jesus in the flesh, but I believe in him. I believe He is who He says He is. You see, I'm glad we did that song because I didn't know we were doing it, but it connects so well to this. You said, I believe. And when we sing that, we need to apply that. And that's what Jesus is saying. Thomas, you've seen, so you believe. Blessed are those who haven't seen and believe. They believe just because I said. The centurion, he said, you don't have to go and touch my son or my daughter. Just say the word. You see, that's faith. That's faith. He believed, and yet he didn't see, but he still believed. And that's where God wants us to get. And that's what Peter is telling us. That's where we need to get. Blessed are those who have not seen, yet have believed. True faith, verse 9. Whom having not seen love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, rejoicing in with joy inexplicable, full of glory. Do you have joy in your life? Does your faith have joy? Do you have a joyful faith? See, we confuse joy and happy. We're not always going to be happy about the way things are. But joy can always be there. Joy is from the Lord. Joy inexpressible. What is that? Can't explain it, but he got it. And it comes from him. It's inexpressible and full of glory. You see, when you have joy, in spite of affliction, in spite of tribulation, that's showing God's glory. That's God's glory being manifested in that joy. Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls, verse 9. You see, true faith will see salvation culminate at Jesus' return. That's when our salvation will be fulfilled completely. Verse 10, of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. The prophets told of the grace that Jesus would bring to our lives long before he came. Long before he came. And that we would be given that grace through Jesus Christ. And this would follow his sufferings. It would follow after his sufferings. You see, he suffered a lot to bring us the grace of God through salvation. 2 Peter 1 and verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, meaning origin. For prophecy never came by the will of man. You hear that? Prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the author of prophecy. The Holy Spirit is the manifester of prophecy. And even then, in the prophets, the Holy Spirit was manifesting through them. They weren't just making that stuff up. They weren't speaking on their own accord. And if you read through some of the prophets, like Jeremiah and even Isaiah, there were times when they're like, God, I'm done with this. Don't make me do this anymore. It's too tough. I speak what you've given me, and they want to kill me. You see, if it was coming from man, they wouldn't speak those things because of the opposition. But this is what Peter's saying. It was a manifestation of the Holy Spirit in them that they were able to speak those things. And they prophesied what would come and what would be. Amen. Right back to the same thing. He said, I believe. He said it through the prophets. He said it through Jesus. He said it through his word. Do you believe? Do you believe? You see, Peter's really digging down into faith. That's what he's getting to. And this is This is something that I think we take lightly or we totally miss sometimes, or we just don't realize the magnitude of it. Verse 12 in 1 Peter. Let me get back to 1 Peter. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you, meaning preached to you, Spirit speaking through the prophets, through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. So what's he saying there? We get a better idea of it in Ephesians 3:10. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by who? By the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. God said, I'm going to manifest these things through my church. And those powers and principalities will realize and recognize that it's coming from me through the church. And you see, that's a big responsibility for the church. The intent that now the manifold wisdom of God, manifold, the word manifold there means variable, many different ways. You know, there's many different ways and many different aspects of God's wisdom. But he said that it might be made known by the church to all rulers, to all powers, to all principalities. That's what the church is supposed to look like. Unfortunately, it doesn't. We got to do better. We need to do better. And the only way we're going to do better is submitting a deeper submission to Him so that our faith is stronger and strong enough to do just that, to reveal the manifold wisdom of God. We can't do it unless our faith, it has to come through faith. And it has to come in the face of adversity, in the face of affliction, in the face of controversy, in the face of all kinds of things. The church shouldn't shrink back. The church should be stepping forward in faith. Not hollering and screaming and demonstrating with our mouths, but with our lives. With our lives. Our faith is demonstrated through our lives. The depth, it goes right back to what Peter said, the depth of our submission to God is going to be revealed in our lives. Let's pray. Worship team, come up. There's no way around it. There's no way around it. Our afflictions today are temporary and light compared to the glory that God desires to manifest through those things and our faith. So as you're praying, I know there's people here. I know there's people here in a group this large that's under pressure. The pressure's on. You're experiencing things. Maybe it's of your own doings. Maybe it's not anything that you've done. But you're under pressure. What is being revealed? Are you digging in on your faith now? Is your faith coming to the surface? Or is your flesh coming to the surface? You see, one or the other, when the pressure's on, one or the other is going to come to the surface. It's going to be faith or it's going to be flesh. One is going to surface. Which is surfacing right now? If it's flesh, just say, Lord, forgive me. Help me. Help me in my unbelief. Increase my faith. And you know what? Do what you need to do. Do your part. Get in God's Word. Get alone with Him and just sit with Him. And let Him speak to you. Let Him speak to you through His Word. Let Him speak to you through His Spirit. It's time for the church to get a deeper submission to Jesus. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for faith. Thank you that we can increase our faith every day and never stop increasing it. Because you always have more. You always want to take us deeper. You always want to take us deeper with you. God, I pray you break any spirit of religion in this place today in Jesus' name. Break it and set it. Set people free from religion. Let them experience the living God, the living Holy Spirit, the living Christ in real time, in a real way, through faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Stand.